So, welcome again. Good morning. I want to share again today, following on from the last couple of times I've shared with you. So, if you haven't been here and don't know what I'm talking about, I do apologise. But hopefully God will take today what you need and what he wants to do in your life. We've been looking at some areas that rob us of God's best for us. Some things in our life that may have happened in the past, things that we have built up that cause us to live less than God's best, because God loves us so much. He has an incredible, abundant life for us, but sometimes we have things in place in our lives that get in the way. And last week, we looked at mistrust in great detail, and it's a really significant thing if we have mistrust issues in our life, because not only does it filter the way that we look at other people, but ultimately it will filter the way that we see God. So hopefully, for those of you that were here last week, you're on a little journey now, and God is bringing healing and restoration deep down on the inside of us. Undealt with pain, wounds, places where we have been let down, disappointed, rejected, or abandoned, they will affect our whole life. We can't help that. It just does. And we can live in cycles of doubt, suspicion, anxiety, fear, self-protection, withdrawal. They're all negative words. They all affect us negatively, which in essence cause us to mistrust. God loves us unconditionally, and he wants to move in those deep areas of pain. And for all of us, it can be a journey as to how far we are along, what God has dealt with, what we will let him deal with, where we're prepared to go. God's love for us knows no limits. And wherever you are in your life, God is for you. He loves you. He has done everything necessary for you and for me to enjoy an intimate relationship with him and know him as our daddy. This culminated in Jesus on the cross, what he did for us by dying. His resurrection and death was the ultimate sacrifice of love for us. And that enables us to be restored in relationship to God. The curse of sin, our lost identity, and death were defeated. Every negative thing that has ever happened in your life or that you have ever done, Jesus took care of. He dealt with it on the cross in himself. It's done. It's finished. It's complete. But we have to work out what that looks like for us. The wounds, the pain, the sickness, the damage, the fear that we have in our life will affect us because we carry it deep on the inside of us, either by personal experience, things that have happened to us, or our generational inheritance, things that have come and been passed down to us through our family line. The good news is we no longer need to be controlled by this. Jesus is our answer. He is our healer. He is our deliverer, our restorer. He comforts us. He is our peace. I can guarantee that whatever it is that you need in your life, Jesus is the way forward. Jesus is that answer. God wants us to let him into these deep places of pain and wounding. Undealt with, we have roots of pain deep down on the inside of us, which affects us all the time, because those roots grow fruit, and the fruit is what we see on the outside. For some of us, it might be negative. It might be obvious. Sorry, it's always negative. Anger, resentment, fear, unforgiveness. Sometimes we may not even know what roots are deep down on the inside because we've shut down, we've squashed it, we've shut off, and we can have what we call fragmented parts or stuck parts, that things we've been through may be so painful that we just shut them down and they become fractured, and that area of our lives just stays there. And we can act out of that emotion as a child because we can be stuck at a certain age. When we get hurt, we develop protection methods to cope. We can put up walls, build fortresses, make inner vows, hide in a safe place that we develop. We can get stuck. We can take control. We can become become a victim. We will all find different ways developing to cope because we have to get on with life. We may say things like, I'll look after myself now. I will do it my way. We may lock our heart up and throw away the key. And we may think, I will trust no one. I will need no one. We may feel we need everyone because we may desperately try and get those needs on the inside met in all sorts of ways. Now, for some of us who are quite on the older side here, presumably we will have heard of Simon and Garfunkel. I'm hoping that most people will have heard of Simon and Garfunkel. No? Okay. Anyway, there's a really famous Simon and Garfunkel song, and it's called I Am a Rock, I Am an Island. And I just want to read you some of the words from that song. It says, I've built walls, a fortress deep and mighty, that none may penetrate. I have no need of friendship. Friendship causes pain. Its laughter and its loving I disdain. I am a rock. I am an island. If I never loved, I never would have cried. I am a rock. I am an island. Hiding in my room, safe within my womb, I touch no one and no one touches me. I am a rock. I am an island. A rock feels no pain, and an island never cries. That's really sad, isn't it? But for all of us, somewhere at some point, we've probably felt a little bit like that. It's very extreme, but can we relate at all to things that we may have said, may have vowed on the inside of us? Can we identify anything there? Is that God's heart? No, my goodness me, no, it's not. But for many of us, that's what we do with ourselves. God wants us to let him into those areas, into those places. He wants to heal us. He wants to restore us. He wants to reintegrate those broken parts, those parts that have been stuck, because they will rob us. The pain that we carry goes deep down into ourselves. And it outworks mentally, in our mind, in our emotions, and in our physical body. We carry those effects. Why on earth would I let God in, you may be thinking. If we still have areas of mistrust and hurt and pain that are not dealt with, we may not feel safe to let God in because we have had to look after ourselves the whole of our lives. But hopefully we can have an encounter with the truth, with Jesus, with love, and we can see that actually he is the way for healing, to forgiveness, and to freedom. Jesus wants to be our safe place, because any place that you have made for yourself on the inside that you consider safe is actually just a prison to keep you locked up. Jesus leads us to the Father. We can live from a place of peace on the inside, knowing and encountering Jesus. Now, one way that we try and protect ourselves is through control. I need to, I will. Some of those things that I've always said, I'll not let anyone, I will, I will, I will. We can try and control life, ourselves, other people, situations. We may need to know, we may need to be involved in everything, and then we will just control people. We need to know what's happening, we need to know how, we need to know when, we need to know it all. This is classic of the DIY pathway, because it's all about me doing it my way, which is the opposite of God's heart for us. When we lost our identity as God's children, when we lost that, then we took on the responsibility to do it ourselves. Control. It's a huge area, and it will taint our view of God if we have control issues. Religion has painted God in such a wrong way that we've been looking at. But if I have been hurt, wounded, abused, if I have been controlled, any of those things, then why would I give myself over to anyone, let alone a God who I may see as distant, a bully up there somewhere with a big stick, who will tell me he'll want to control my life and tell me I have to do this and I can't do that and I ought to do the other thing. And what we can do is we can just put that expectation of God to control us, which is religion and legalism, and actually paints God as a bit of a bully. Well, that's not the God that I know. we can be fearful. Fearful of being controlled. If control is an issue, when I'm not in control, I will feel really insecure, I'll feel really weak, and I won't like it very much. If I am used to being controlled, then I will be a bit of a doormat. And we looked at victim mentality recently. Insecurity often makes people really controlling. Fear can make people really controlling. There may be roots that we need to deal with, because at the end of the day, God wants us to surrender to him. You may think, surrender. I looked up a definition of surrender and it wasn't very nice. It said, give up or hand over. Stop resisting to an enemy or opponent and submit to their authority. Now, if I have fear and all of those things in place and mistrust, that definition, suddenly God wants me to surrender, it sounds a bit heavy, doesn't it? It doesn't sound like, well, why would I want to do that then? That is not what God is all about. If I surrender and I give up, that makes me really weak. Often when you look at surrender, it's in a war, or, you know, you're surrendering to the stronger person, or you surrender to the strong arm of the law, or whatever it might be. It can be something which implies a weakness. And this is where I think that things have become so twisted in our perception of God. God does not want to control you. God is in control. And he wants to be in control of your life. Well, he is actually in control. He wants us to give him control because he knows best. But he does not want to control you with a big stick and make you do things. God has given us free will. He gives us a choice. He wants us to walk a love relationship with him where we walk it out together. But ultimately, he wants us to submit and to surrender our lives to him because we love him in that relationship. So I just want to throw out there today, allow God to challenge your perception of control and surrender. He wants us in a love relationship. He does want all of you. He wants every single part of you because you belong to him, because Jesus paid the price for us. We have been bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus. We belong to God. We are his. We are his children. He delights in us, so he wants every part of us, but he wants us to give it to him, to yield to him, to submit to him in love. Acts 17:20 says, in him we live and move and have our being, oneness, unity, harmony, just moving and flowing together. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with the Anointed One. I am no longer alive, but the Anointed is living in me. And whatever life I have left in this failing body, I live by the faithfulness of God's Son, the one who loves me and gave his body on the cross for me. He surrendered himself for us so that we might know him, and he wants to live out that relationship with us. Romans 12:1, live consistent with who you really are. I knew there's a reason I have my glasses here. Inspired by the loving kindness of God, my brothers, the most practical expression of worship is to make your bodies available to him as a living sacrifice. This pleases him more than any religious routine. He desires to find visible individual expression in your person. God wants you to express him and his love. He wants us to submit our lives to him so that we can live the best everything that he has for us. Matthew 11:29 says, put my yoke upon your shoulders. That talks about being yoked to Jesus. Put my yoke upon your shoulders. It might appear heavy at first, but is perfectly fitted to your curves. I love that. It's okay to be curvy. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart. When you are yoked to me, your weary souls will find rest. Isn't that what we want? Don't we want rest? Don't we want peace? What it means is stop striving, Stop trying to do it yourself and let me do it in and through you and with you. We are joined to him, so we go where he goes. So it is like saying, God, you're in control, because we're yoked to him and he will take us where we need to go and we will follow. But there's a difference than God being in control and controlling you. Can you see the difference? Because I think for some of us, that's the perception that God wants to break. He leads, we follow. He sets the direction, we surrender. And then we can come from a place of rest and peace. 1 Peter 5:7, casting the whole of your care, the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, all your fears, anything that bothers you, once and for all, on him. For he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. What's that saying? We carry heavy burdens that we don't need to carry, that we can hand over and we can give him, because he says we can trust him. We can give him everything. Now, no matter where we are in our journey, we probably surrendered certain things. We've probably given over certain things to God. But sometimes, if you're anything like me, I like to think that I live a life where I am constantly surrendering myself to God to the degree that I can. But I am aware, on occasions, I do take things back again. So I may give God control in certain areas, and then I might take it back. And I'm sure I'm not the only one, because then I try and work things out, and it becomes very difficult, and I make it more difficult for myself. And as a really, I might cry here, but there's a really good example that I just want to share with you in recent times. Towards the end of last year, we had a really very difficult situation with our parents who were up here. They were both suffering really quite badly from dementia and were in their own homes. And fortunately, I have two brothers, and so we spent a lot of time together trying to, you know, decide what's God saying, what's the best thing for them, where should they be, and handing the situation to God and saying, okay, God, we don't know what to do here. Show us, guide us, lead us. And then you're faced with situations which aren't very easy. And I'm sure at times it's just like, oh, need to do this, then need to do that. And then God doesn't seem to be saying anything. God doesn't seem to be doing anything, blah, blah, blah. You know, maybe it's just me, but I don't think so. And then it came a point in time at the end of last year where something happened. They were in their own home. They were being cared for. But something happened. My mum had an accident and needed to go into hospital. And it became apparent that they could no longer live on their own. It was distressing. It was upsetting. It was just plain horrible, to be fair. But do you know what? God was in it. Did God make her have a fall? No, of course he didn't. But the situation very, very quickly went from them being in their own home, my mum being in hospital. The next day, my dad could no longer be on his home. And God just opened up the way. He made it so clear, so apparent what needed to happen, that a fantastic assisted living facility became available for two of them. And I had been pondering and distressed about this for such a long time, thinking, where will they go? How do you know the right one? What do you do? All the time thinking, like, I've handed this to God. God will sort this out. But fretting and worrying and all of those things. And God opened something up. And my mum was in hospital. My dad went into the home. He was really unsettled. It was very difficult for him. My mum came out of hospital, went into the home. My dad settled. My mum died. Now, I'm not saying that for you to go, oh, how sad. What I'm saying is every single step along that way, God had. I couldn't have worked that out. Although in my mind's eye, I was trying to for such a long time, trying to think what's best, what's next, what's this, what's that. God was already there. He was already in it. He had it. He was in control. And all the time that I spent fretting and worrying about it, did that do me any good? No. But God was in it. God was for us. God, you know, it's sad. It's like, I'm not trying to distract away at that. What I'm saying is, God knows. And sometimes we spend such a long time trying to work it out, trying to be in control, not giving it to God. Actually, it's a waste of time. Because when we do, we can live in that place of peace. And I, I, I wasn't not in a place of peace. Don't get me wrong. I was in a process and a journey with God. But it just highlighted to me how much God loves us, how much he goes before us. He paves the way. Now, we don't lose our brains when we surrender to God. Don't get me wrong. It doesn't mean you lose your ability to think and to plan and to work things out. It's just cooperating and walking this journey with him. Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek first his kingdom and righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well." That means anything and everything that we need, God's got. He will do it his way with us when we seek him first. And that's the key, isn't it? Often we try and do it ourselves first, and when it doesn't work, we think, better pray about it then. It's getting wise quicker, seeking God in everything. Not doing it myself and expecting him to add to it. How often do we try things and then we ask God, or we try things, we think we've handed it to God, but really we know that we haven't, and then we blame him when it goes wrong, or we blame him when it doesn't work out the way that we see it. That's not what this is about. This is about surrendering and saying, God, you do it your way, and I want to cooperate with you. Now, these verses should be a relief, because we don't have to struggle. We don't have to strive. We don't have to try and work everything out, sort it out myself and do it all. God is in control, and he will lead and guide, and he will just love on us, which is better. But sometimes it can be really tricky. Why is it so hard to surrender to God then? Why is it so hard to give God control of things? It's because we've spent the whole of our life before knowing him having to look after ourselves, having to work it out, protecting those deep wounds, protecting ourselves, making sure that we're okay, stopping ourselves being hurt again. It doesn't stop after embarking on this journey with God. We have so many layers. We have so many wounds. We have so many things that have shaped us up till this point in time. We can often think that we've surrendered, and then God says, actually, I want to take you a little bit deeper. And as long as we're cooperating with God, that's all he requires of us. But he wants to lavish his love upon us. Some of the things then, what in my life do I need to start relying on God for? Without manipulating others, without trying to control or forcing my agenda, because that's really difficult. Because in control, whether we like it or not, that's what we do. We manipulate, we force our agenda on others. Some things that we might want to consider are my rights, make it all about me. I can be really controlling. My DIY pathway. My relationships, do I try and control in relationships? My children, do I control my children? Do I try and make things happen for them? A job, my future, do I try and control to make sure that things work out my way? My money, independence, things that I control that God may be asking me, just give it to me. Just hand this to me. Let me work it out. Let me show you what I've got that's better for you. Because when I have areas that I am trying to control, it can make me a bully because I manipulate. Emotional control is a really big thing, and I've been guilty of this many times, trying to emotionally control situations. Planning to the nth degree. Well, I need to know, and it has to be, and it can't be anything else. I have to do everything myself. If I don't do it right, nobody else will do it. Do it. If you want it done right, do it yourself. Can be control. We can have controlling behaviours, controlling patterns. Eating disorders are a classic form of control. When things seem out of control, it's the one thing they say that people can take control for. Self-harm can also be a way of control. God does not want us to limp on like this. He wants us to live in harmony with him. Rebellion is a form of control, I will not come under that authority. I will not do what you say. Sometimes we need to do what people say, especially if they're your boss. There are all sorts of ways. Fear of authority. If you have been controlled and wounded in the past, you may have a fear of being controlled, which brings a fear of authority, which will give you a fear of God undealt with. So to be in God's best for us, we need to learn to be obedient to him, to lay down our rights. We've sang enough songs this morning about laying it down, about giving God our hearts, giving God our lives, giving God control. We sing it all the time. Do we mean it? When it comes down to it, do we mean it? It's really important, if I am to embrace all that God has for me, and I say to you, I need to let go of my minuscule understanding, because I understand this much. And often that's what I want to control. But actually, if God is for me and he has a future and a plan and a purpose and a destiny and he is love, will I accept that my small-mindedness might actually be all that there is? Might not be all that there is, sorry. Then God is so much bigger. One of my favourite passages that God has worked with me over, oh, it's wrong book, over the years has been Isaiah 55. And many times when I have struggled and when I have not understood, God has reminded me about this. Oh no, my thing's filling out. Here we go. That's fine. It's Isaiah 55, and God says, my intentions are not always yours, and I do not go about things as you do. Oops. My thoughts and my ways are above and beyond you. Just as heaven is far from your reach here on earth, for as rain and snow can't go back once they've fallen, but soak into the ground and nourish the plants that grow, providing seed to the farmer and bread for the hungry. So it is, when I declare something, my word will go out and not return to me empty, but it will do what I wanted. It will accomplish what I determined. For you will go out in joy, be led home in peace. And as you go, the land itself will break out in cheers. The mountains and the hills will erupt in song, and the trees of the field will clap their hands. Prickly thorns and nasty briars will give way to luxurious shade trees, sweet and good. And they'll remind you of the Eternal One and how God can be trusted absolutely and forever. Do you know, that is such an incredible thing. God is saying, I know more than you. I will not let you down. I am faithful. You can trust me, but you need to let me be God. And Proverbs 3:5-6. Place your trust in the Eternal. Rely on him completely. How much are we allowed to keep back? Place your trust in the Eternal. Rely on him completely. Never depend upon your own ideas and inventions. Uh-oh. Give him the credit for everything you accomplish. That's not easy always either, is it? And he will smooth out and straighten the road that lies ahead. And don't think that you can decide on your own what is right and what is wrong. Respect the Eternal, turn and run from evil. If you depend on him, your body and mind will be free from the strain of a sinful life, will experience healing and health, and will be strengthened at their core. God's promises are there for us. And one of the things from Isaiah that God really spoke to me about is those things that he has spoken into my heart, those things that he has said, he will do because he is faithful. And for each and every one of us, there may be even one thing that you feel God has spoken over you. He will do it. We just need to let him and cooperate with him and walk the journey with him, rather than try and take it over, take it back, do it ourselves, mess up, get into a bigger mess. Basically, hands off. Give God. Let God be like God in our lives. What are some of the promises God has said to you? When we moved here many, many years ago now, it was a really difficult time. And we had things that we needed to do, because as I say, you don't lose your brain. But God told me that we would be here for my children to start school in September. He told me that. I said, if I'm going, my children need to start school in September. And he said, okay. So that was my surety that I knew that I knew on my knower that I knew that that's what God had said. I cannot tell you how many hurdles, how many obstacles, how many things came to get in the way. We sold houses, lost houses, went to buy another, lost house. You know, it was just thing. But the thing that I knew on the inside was God had said it. Therefore, I could trust him. And there were things that we could have done, but I knew that I just needed to let God in this process and let him do what he needed to do. Even though it was really tempting to try and get involved and do his work for him because things kept going wrong. But we moved here at the end of August and my children started school in September. So that's why we need to let God do it and get out of the way and cooperate with him. Trying to keep control robs us of peace, intimacy with God, and fulfilling our destiny. God won't force himself on us, although sometimes it might feel like it. Have you ever been in their place, that place, and you feel like God's got your arm up your back like this? But we still have a choice. Will we give in? Will we surrender? Or will we still try and do things our own way? The Holy Spirit in us convicts us to bring us into life, to bring us further into our journey with God. But he will always give us a choice. But those parts of ourselves we refuse to let God into remain in darkness and in pain. And then rather than us being in control, they control us. And that's another area that I really feel God wants to talk to us about today. It can be emotions. It can be fear. And so when Alice saw the golden angel, angel with golden keys, I'd already seen that this morning. God said there were angels here with golden keys to unlock those areas that we have shut down, that we have controlled, so that we can walk into freedom and be healed and whole. Because our emotions can control us. Fear, anger, unforgiveness. It's not the emotions that are the issue. It's the place that's locked deep on the inside of us that God wants us to unlock and let him into. An area that God has really spoken to me about us and being controlling and having control is those areas of our lives that we don't want anyone to know about. And I've called it secret sin. If you have an area in your life no one knows about or you don't want anyone to know about, it will control. It will control you. It can be all-consuming. The fear of being found out, the fear of being exposed, the fear of rejection, the fear of what will people think, what will this mean for me, will control you. And ultimately, it will keep you from that intimacy that God so longs with you. Because you will need to manipulate and control situations and people to keep things hidden and in the dark. I know this from experience. I was once that person. I had a secret and I was so controlling because at all costs, I was going to keep it hidden. It's a prison. It's exhausting. It's exhausting. God wants us. He knows anyway. Just by the way, God knows everything. He knows every hair of your head is numbered. He knows everything about you and he just loves us so much. It's the things that we put on ourselves that lock us up and keeping in prison. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing stops God accepting you. Yes, there's some behaviors, there's some patterns in our lives, there are some things that we need to maybe deal with consequences of, but actually, let's not be controlled by these things anymore. Jesus has already paid the price. It's all dealt with so that we can be restored, healed, set free. If there are consequences, let's walk through them with God. Let's invite God into the mix because, as I said, it's exhausting when you have to be in control. We all have areas in our lives that have been affected negatively that cause us to live less than God's best for us. God's best for us is in a love relationship with him, where we offer ourselves as an act of worship and allow him to guide, to lead, to direct us. We've all been rejected, betrayed. We've all had fears. We all carry wounds. No matter if today is your first day of your journey with God or you've been walking with him for 50 years, we all are on an adventure towards wholeness, towards freedom, towards peace. God's heart for every single person is nothing broken, nothing missing. Until meeting God, we have no choice but to go it alone. Live the best we can out of our learned patterns of behaviour and our value systems, which have been learnt or taught by our early family environment. The God-given needs that we have on the inside of us, need to feel loved, secure, to belong, to be affirmed, to have purpose, to have acceptance, they will either be met in a healthy way or not. As they are built-in needs, we will try and meet them somehow. And this is for most of us where our problem starts. Our soul takes the lead deep in the inside, our mind, our will, and our emotions, and we look to the outside world to meet those needs. As things go wrong, we make those decisions to protect ourselves, which are the walls, the fortresses, the vows. But we don't have to stay in this place. No matter what has happened to you, no matter what you have been through, or maybe what you have put others through, God loves you. He is for you. Life may have sucked, quite frankly. For some people, that's the fact. Today can be a fresh start with God. Allow God in. We looked previously in depth about victim mentality. If that is something that's affected you, then you will expect bad things to happen. You will be a doormat. You will be controlled by people and circumstances. Or you may adopt control. No one else is going to look out for me. I'll do whatever it takes. You can be controlling. Codependency comes out of control. Wherever it is, however this outworks in our life, we don't have to stay in that place. God knows every hair of your head. You have a sphere of influence. Do you know that? Are you aware that God gives you a sphere of influence where you make a difference? You're not here by accident. The difference you make can be positive or negative. What flows from the inside of you? Again, Alice this morning was talking about the flow. We have a flow that comes from within us. Is it going to be positive and flow from heaven? Or is it going to be negative from our past, our wounds, and our damage? Let's see it as God intended. Your life being surrendered to him so that heaven can flow from the innermost part of you, through your spirit, through your soul, through your body. Changing the atmosphere all around you, bringing hope, bringing peace, bringing joy, bringing love. That's who you are. That's who you've been created to be. Beyond that, as we know God, the most important thing is to know that he loves us. He wants to teach you how to live so that you can bring heaven to earth. We can access heaven. We hear it all the time. We can change things in the spiritual realm. We can legislate, administer angels. We can see what's happening in heaven, and we can outwork it here. It's a pretty good reason to relinquish my minuscule understanding of life and start to embrace what God's got for me. Relinquish my control and surrender to God to enter into all that he has for us. You are more than you think. You're not here to fill a chair. You may be here because you have to be here, but God has got plans and purposes for you. You make a difference. Our mindsets are so narrow, so limited, because they become affected by life circumstances. Just imagine, for instance, and I probably think every single person here could put their hand up, is have you ever been subject to an injustice in your life? Has something happened to you which was just not fair? We carry that pain. It can affect us ongoingly. What effect might it have? Jesus does not want us to stay in that place, because it takes you out of the race. It takes you out of God's best. We can become victims to that. Maybe, could there be a maybe in there somewhere that actually, if you allow God into your place of pain, into that place that was unjust, into whatever it was that happened to you, and God brings you healing, and you have a testimony, and you can say, this is what God did for me, maybe you could see justice overturned, injustice overturned in all sorts of areas. Because justice is something that we stand for. We stand for righteousness and justice and peace. On the Good News Mountain, we have a justice mountain. We do have a justice mountain. You know, we have been given authority to see change, to orchestrate change from God's perspective. Gaining victory and authority in my life, when I see something that I have been imprisoned by, when I have been affected by, where I have been chained and enslaved to, when I allow God in and God sets me free and heals me, that gives me an authority to give it away. How amazing is that? But what it requires is that I let God in. I can keep it locked away tight, or I can let God in to bring healing and restoration. I have fought God. I'm sure you find this very hard to imagine, but I have fought God on many occasions to keep control of certain things. And when I look back, I think, what a donut. Why did I just not let God do what he wanted in the first place? Very famous song, Frank Sinatra, I Will Do It My Way. How does that work for us, then? Do I really think I can do a better job than God? Normally, I end up giving in. And I've caused myself a lot of extra grief, heartache, wasted time along the way. I fight with a daddy who only has the best for me. Now, you know, having had quite a few children, we know sometimes they like to listen to you and sometimes they don't. It's the same with God. I can't control my children. I can't make them do anything, although sometimes I would like to give them a good shake and make them do things. But at the end of the day, they have a choice. They have their path to walk. I love them. How much more does God love us in our choices, in our pathways? He never gives up. Again, we've sang it today. But we can make it so much easier for ourselves, and we can enter into so much more of what he has for us by just saying, God, I surrender my life to you. He wants to lavish his love upon us, all of us, every part of us. He wants to lead us. He knows the right path. He knows everything. There's a verse that says, your light, your word is a lamp to my path and a light to my feet. One of those two ways around. Other way around. Light to my path and a lamp to my feet. Got it. In Psalm. How many times did God show us and we see this clear path and we take the other one? He doesn't give up. Sometimes we just need to go around and around the mountain again. And he brings us back and he just continues to move in our lives and to bless us. We make it harder. He never changes his mind. He is intimately acquainted with all of your ways. He knew you before you were ever formed here. Your destiny was agreed in eternity when you were created in his heart. Everything negative, everything less than that has happened here has caused us to miss out on his best. He wants to restore. The most important thing is we need to have an encounter with the love to know how precious we are to God. From there, you'll know then that he has a purpose, that you can make a difference. But we need to stop living as a victim. We need to stop being controlled by our circumstances, and we need to stop trying to control our circumstances and life, to discover who we really are, to be defined by what God says about us, not by our circumstances, and bring God's rule in our life, to live as victors, not as victims, to live lives of faith and trust and hope. God wants us soft, pliable, malleable, so that he can change us and mold us. The Bible says that he's the potter, we're the clay. When you control, when you have situations, or when there are things that you will not relinquish, then you are rigid and inflexible. And it's very difficult for God to do what he wants when we're like that. So maybe we need to ask God, are there things in our lives today He wants us to give over to him. You can say relinquish control, but again, that can be ultimately, that's what it is. He wants us to just surrender, to give ourselves, to present ourselves as living sacrifices to him. Not so that he can beat us, but so that we can enter into his fullness and everything that he has for us. Because me being in control will just rob me of God's best. God is God. He's the creator of the universe. He is author of all things. He knows everything. He is the boss. He is in charge. He's God, but he's also your daddy. And he wants that to be the relationship that you flow from. You think you can do a better job with your life? I don't think any of us can. He wants me and you to partner with him. We're joint heirs with Jesus. We're the same as Jesus. Did God control Jesus? No, God was in control. But Jesus surrendered and submitted himself and had a choice right to the end of what he chose to do. And that's what God wants for us. I'm going to read James 4 from the Mirror Bible. It says, his gift of grace is in direct opposition to the vanity of the proud mindset of self-effort, whereby people strive to prove themselves as superior to others. Gift and reward are opposites. Humility attracts grace. Your most effective defense against any diabolical mindset is to yield yourselves in total abandonment to God and there encounter his dream life for you. How beautiful does that sound? You will witness how effortlessly those things flee from you. Snuggle up to the warm embrace of God. Experience his closeness. The sinner can come with all stains washed from his hands. The double-minded can come with a purified heart. This is not mere blasé yielding. Realizing the misery that you have brought upon yourself and others is often accompanied by intense grief and weeping. There is no place for superficial laughter and make-believe joy, nor any occasion for boasting. Hey, you've got your year planner out and can already taste the profits in all your business ventures. You're going big, travel and trade from city to city. Meanwhile, you have no handle on tomorrow. Your life is like a mist that is visible for a short while before it evaporates. My best advice for you is to wrap up all your plans and conversations in the delightful resolve of God. God's got it. God's got you. He's got your future, your past, your present. He's got everything. I just really feel today, if there are areas that you have been withholding from him, that you have been trying to work out, that you have been trying to control, today he just wants you to surrender them, to give them to him. If they are so deeply locked away that you don't know how to access them, we've got angels here with golden keys that can unlock them. Let's today just move deeper and more into his purposes and plans. I'm going to hand over to Jo now. She's going to do an activation with us. But allow God in. Dare to trust him. Dare to trust him.
Thank you, Deb. There are things that get in the way, actually, of us that we have deep in the inside that we don't know about. So we're just going to, I'm just going to do an activation and just ask God to show you anything that we need to deal with today. If you just want to close your eyes and just imagine a door. Mike talks about a door. It can be any door, your bedroom door, front room door, whatever a door is for you. And Jesus is knocking. And the handle is on your side. You just open that door and Jesus is there. He's waiting for you. He is so pleased to see you. But just step through that door and breathe in that atmosphere of love. Just breathe in that peace. And Jesus takes you by the hand and he leads you to that safe place that you go with him. It could be in your garden or by the river of peace. Could be in his heart. in front of his throne, or just let him embrace you, hold you tight. And as you're there with him and you're breathing in that love and that peace, ask him to show you a memory or a situation where someone has controlled you against your will. Something that you didn't want to do, but it happened to you, and the consequences have not been good. Or you have controlled someone against their will, and the consequences have not been good. Or ask God to show you a memory where he has asked you to do something, or shown you something, shown you the way, and because of the things that have been holding you back, you haven't listened to him, you haven't heard what he's saying, and you've tried to pick things up and you've done them your way, and the consequences have not been good. So now, you can forgive those people that have done something to you, and you can release them and give the debt to God. Or you can forgive yourself and release yourself and give the debt to God. Or any negative thoughts or emotions that have come up, you can nail them to the cross, and you can ask for the exchange. So you can do that in your imagination, or you can do that later to this physical cross. You can exchange your pain for peace, your sorrow for joy, your anger for peace, your pain for healing, ill health, if ill health has come about because of these things, for health, brokenness for wholeness. And you can ask God, have you been stuck at an age or a part's got stuck emotionally and won't move on because of these things that have happened to you? Imagine yourself at this age. Imagine yourself how old you were when this thing happened to you. And as Jesus is there with you, introduce this age, this part to Jesus. And ask Jesus to come and embrace the part that's had the pain, the hurt, the negative emotion. And ask Jesus to bring wholeness to this part, to this age. And bring wholeness in this area and togetherness for you, so you can move on with your life. And just breathe in that peace. Just breathe in that love. Just breathe in that wholeness of Jesus. So you can stay in that place for a short while, I know we have done things around the other way today, but if you need help with anything, before you go, just quickly ask somebody. Please feel free to nail anything physically to the cross if you'd like to. Or if you'd like any other ministry, please see Karen for an appointment sometime. So just release blessing and peace upon you all for the week. Thank you.